October 1st. It's GloucesterCast 244. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We have a very exciting announcement today. Something I've been waiting for a long time. We're going to get to in a little bit. Very, very exciting.
I'll be here for
that. You'll be here for that. We have Jen Holmgren here.
Hello.
Running for City Council at large.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi.
We have Jimmy and Pat Dalpiaz here. Some of my favorite FOBs.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Top tier FOBs.
Oh, I know.
You got it now, right, Kim? You know what's coming?
I know what's coming.
You know what's coming.
I love it.
It's huge. It's huge. There's only like probably 10 super FOBs.
Yeah.
And they're like top. They're definitely top 10 super FOBs.
Super FOBs.
I would say Dave Moore, Sharon St. Clair,
Yeah, Mary McLeod Tucker.
Mary McLeod Tucker, okay.
Are they VIP FOBs?
Well, I mean, the people that comment on a lot of stuff and show up for our events and stuff like that all the time.
Yeah.
Frank Shu.
Right.
And Shu's wife and Frankie Shalino. I don't know. I'll leave people. I can't name everybody. I gotta stop right now. Stop right now.
There's a lot more.
There's more, but for the sake of time. October 1st, it's freaky weather. 85 degrees 2 days ago, 44 degrees today.
I know, that was amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I love it though.
I like the dry weather for working.
I love all the changes because then it makes all these beautiful atmospheric things happen, like
it's so
fogs
true
and mist.
Oh,
beautiful rainbow yesterday morning.
Did you? I was in Hamilton for sheets of rain pouring out of the sky. Soccer. I saw pictures of the double rainbow.
Oh, I didn't see those. Those were amazing.
I only saw a single. I didn't know it was a
single. Oh, it was a single. No, no, okay.
God.
What do you call
brilliant.
That?
Brilliant, but it was brilliant.
I said it,
but
it
was
a double rainbow is two rainbows. This was a single rainbow, but you could see the end and the beginning.
Yes.
So what do you call
it?
Oh, what is, I don't know.
I don't know. The arc, like an arch?
A full
rainbow. Thank you. Yeah.
Full
I think so.
Full on rainbow.
It looked brilliantly lit.
Yes.
It looked just incredible.
But for a photographer, the atmosphere... It's a dream.
It is a dream.
It's early for the golden hour, the dawn and dusk.
And also this time of year, the light is slanting so low that even if you're out at like 11 or 12, you can still get, things aren't really totally burnt out.
Right.
So.
Yeah, for photography. I know, it's funny that it doesn't feel like, well, I guess today it feels like October, but it going along with the theme that we've had for probably the last 5 years, there seems to be no fall. It goes summer, 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 winter. And then it goes winter, 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 summer. There's no springs and there's no fall. There's very,
the
very short.
The transition seems not to be there the way you remember it from when you were younger.
Right. It seemed like September you were wearing sweaters, but it's like 80s all the way through September.
God, that was a gorgeous street. That was beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, that was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Do you guys grow tomatoes? Mine are still turning red.
Red, yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Well, we had the big tomato cast last week, didn't we?
Yeah. Did we?
Don't you remember people? You showed up late, but we were talking about tomatoes.
Beforehand?
Like,
okay.
The whole conversation was about tomatoes.
Oh, my God.
I showed up late.
Jen says, you have a spot for me on the podcast this week.
Right.
I said, sure, come in. I said,
8:45 Sunday. Yes.
Yeah. 8:45 Sunday.
Yeah.
She goes, where do I go?
Yeah.
And that's the tell.
I know.
That they don't follow the blog, right?
I follow the blog. Oh, I do.
Well, how could you not know where we taped it from?
Well, people follow the blog, but they don't always listen to all the podcasts.
So I like to be absolutely certain because I'm anal like that. I'm a nurse, I can never ask too many questions.
That's great. So I just want to put something out there because we always talk about we don't do politics on the blog.
Right.
But we don't really get into, bipartisan issues on the blog.
Right.
And last year I opened it up that anybody that was running could put in a like a statement piece or something like that. I'm kind of doing away with that. But I'm allowing any of the politicians that are running for any of the positions, they can come into the podcast and speak.
And talk. And I think
but we're not putting up like fundraiser, because if we put up fundraiser stuff, the whole blog will be fundraiser stuff.
Right. Yeah.
And we're just
that's
not.
That's a good idea.
You know, I just have to draw the line somewhere.
Right. No, I think that's
but Jen asked to come on, and that's why she's on. We didn't go out of our way to ask Jen to come on.
Thank you.
But we're happy to have you here. And
I think that is the really really good policy. It's very fair, and you know,
kind of have to, right?
Yeah. And also, I think it's more personal for the listeners to actually hear somebody talking about their viewpoints rather than just seeing
some
like
canned thing.
Right, that you could see on Facebook. Right?
Yeah.
So,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So Jen, what is why are you? I guess the easiest question to say is, you know, what is your motivation? Why do you want to be a city council?
I want to help. I'm a 98 GHS graduate. I love this city. And as I said, I'm a nurse, I'm a mom, I'm a problem solver. I like working with people, and I deal with some tricky situations, so I figured city council maybe wouldn't be too big of a leap from doing that. I don't know, we'll see. We'll see. I've attended a whole bunch of meetings. I took a look back in my calendar and counted, and since February of 2016, I've attended 75 city meetings. So that's city council subcommittee, any number of board, commission, and committee meetings. I was on a committee to review the dog ordinance, so I spent a lot of time doing that.
Oh boy!
I know it's Whoa. That's a hot topic. Yeah, yeah, that's a
that
hot
was a topic,
topic
on the
yeah.
podcast for like maybe
know,
8 weeks running.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there's no. It's like a kind of like there's like a no win there. Yeah. Like
it's
like.
A tough one. It's a tough one.
It's a tightrope.
It is. It is. It's all about balance. Yeah.
Well, that's the reason why I always say like I would never want to do it. And God bless the people that do want to do it, because there's always going to be this gray,
yeah.
these certain issues that are gray that you're not going to please everybody. And then you get like certain people that just hate you for
Forever.
Making a decision
right.
that, you know, that
right.
that maybe that's just not a perfect answer, right?
Yeah.
Right.
It's a labor of love, I think. I mean, anybody who serves in this city, and we have so many volunteers too, in addition to elected officials, they make the city run, they make it tick, and they help make it what it is, and I love that.
I think in the past, I think since Carolyn Kirk's administration, the embracing of volunteers and continuing with Safathia has been, and it probably has a lot to do with, you know, budgets are so restrained, with insurance costs being such a huge part of budgets. Like that, you know, they can take whatever help they can get.
Yeah, right.
But certainly you're right, the volunteer groups that we have in this city are phenomenal.
I think of the DPW, just some comment somebody made to me in passing, that there used to be 75 full-time employees and now there's like 12 or something
wow.
like that.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Wild.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
It is wild.
And they work. They work so hard. Yeah,
that's
they
right.
do.
They
so do
I'm gonna,
a great job.
I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Ken Hecht.
Okay.
What is some of the low-hanging fruit that like right off the bat you see that you think that there should be changes?
Geez, that's a really good question. Well, I don't know about any low-hanging fruit. I mean, there are a lot of challenges.
What are some of the changes? What are some of the things that you're running and you believe that this should be this particular way?
I think that we need to keep a balance between our harbor industrial and our harbor real estate. So the hotel is beautiful. I think it's lovely. I've eaten there. It really has added to the landscape, but I want to keep our fishing industry a part of our community. It's our heritage. Somebody asked me recently whether or not I think that condos should go up on the harbor, and I said no, absolutely not. I mean, there are some heavily contested areas like I-4C-2. I don't even know. I don't even know what, you know, the plan is for that or what to do about that. I mean, people have batted around different ideas about it in the past, you know, couple of decades now.
Not a couple, a lot more than a couple.
A lot more than that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. The fishing industry has been, I've since 1953, our family has owned this piece of property. My cousin and I bought it from our fathers in 1991. We just finished paying for it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
When we were kids, fish was coming out of our ears mm-hmm. in this city. Everyone, and my father had said to me at the time, after you go to college, if you decide to come to work at the dock with us, there's always going to be fish, and the boats are always going to need some place to offload the fish.
Uh huh.
So, that being said, when he was there, we had a ton of fish, and then a million a day, and then horsepower became so great, and radars were able to find fish. So, with that fish had, and then there was. Developments in the type of nets that guys could fish, that where there were places for the fish to hide with huge rocks and areas that if a net went over it before, it would completely just shred their nets to pieces. Now they've developed these nets that have rollers that it goes over these boulders and there's no place for the fish to hide. So back starting in the late 70s, early 80s, there was a huge decline because it was a free-for-all. As many fish as they could land, and if you didn't have to pay for a permit. You went out, you bought a boat, you as big of a boat, as much horsepower as you wanted, and you killed fish. And you were a hero for killing as much fish as you could catch because we thought, at the time, like my father said, there's always going to be fish, and they're going to need a place to unload them.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter was, it isn't a finite resource, and... Because fishermen had these huge investments in these boats, they rallied against any cutbacks, and that a lot of them are going to say it's the government's fault, but they rallied against cutbacks and closures and stuff like that. Every time there was a closure, there was a pushback from the fishermen's groups. Mm. So eventually it became so bad that this port went from handling millions of pounds a day down to tens of thousands of pounds a day.
Yeah.
It's still a huge effort. So the government came in, they brought realistic allotments. There was an incredible consolidation. The amount of fishing boats that are in this harbor is like not half of your pinky finger compared to your entire body.
Yeah,
that's how many boats. Not because are allowed to fish, because that is what the amount of fish that are out there that you can bring in and still have a renewable resource.
Yeah.
So they figured out there has to be a consolidated effort. So the amount of real estate that is in this harbor that is needed to offload fish is not what we had in the 70s, 50s, 30s.
Gotcha.
There's a state fish pier that is half empty with empty stalls that is the I-4C2 that the Carolyn Kirk put out for RFP. Any fish company wanted to buy it and handle fish.
No.
No one stepped up.
No.
The Beauport Hotel, there was the money that they could have bought the Beauport Hotel for before the Davis Group bought it, before Mac Bell bought it, was a tiny amount of money, and no fish company stepped up to buy it. Why? Because there was no need, because this property right here, there was 150 women and men working, offloading and processing fish. Now there are two employees, myself and my cousin, 2 3/4 acres. So to say that you need the entire waterfront for the fishing industry, no, because... Because if there are certain fishing groups that when they talk to you, they don't want to see anything else happen.
There needs to be a balance.
There needs to be a balance.
Yes.
But to shut down any other ideas. So wait a second. I just want to finish this. So Sherry and Jim Davis, these groups fought against Cruiseport. They fought against the hotel. Tooth and nail, they fought against these things. These people that work, even the servers there are pulling down over $200 a shift. There's several, there's probably 20 chefs that work there.
Amazing.
There are florists that get employed there.
Mm-hmm.
There are
photographers
that get paid for the weddings.
Yeah.
There is the cruise ships that still come in there.
Yeah.
There is there is the tax money that place was a derelict piece of property. Just like Bullport, the hotel was a derelict piece of property, now paying tons of multiples higher taxes and hotel tax and meals tax and the real estate tax.
Yeah.
Like from this much to this much.
Mm-hmm.
So when someone comes here with money, they're not necessarily evil.
Oh no, I know that.
But that's how some people will portray them. We don't want these people with money coming into this town because that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
You know what? Our schools could use the money.
Yeah.
Our firefighters with the closed fire stations would like to have the money.
Yeah.
So infrastructure needs the money.
Yes.
So balance, absolutely. But we have an underutilized harbor as it is. We have a state fish pier that is enormous that still you could build twice as much fish processing space than actually exists right now. So when I hear people say, you know, we don't want, you know, these people coming in here, you know, like the rhetoric, like, oh, the hotel's nice and all, but, like, you know what? The hotel, no, never mind, but the hotel's great.
What I've been talking to people about is expanding our potential for science and research in the marine industry, too. We've got the Gloucester Marine Genomics Institute.
It's great.
Oh, my God, I love it.
It's
with the
fantastic.
Kids, you know,
and it's up, and it, and you know what?
It's up at the
Blackbird Industrial Show.
Yes,
it doesn't necessarily have to be on the water.
No,
it's nice
it
if it's on the water.
That's true.
If they have the money to come up with it.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't, it's just as fine.
But also,
Good Harbor Filet
right.
opted to go up at the industrial park.
In the old days, they needed to be on the water because of refrigeration and because the roads weren't that great. Now the roads are, you know,
and they dumped
the roads are great.
And they dumped all the and
they're
they
good.
Dumped they used to dump all of the all the water from the processing overboard. It's illegal to
do
that nowadays.
Right. Yes.
They don't even allow that.
Yeah.
So there's many reasons. Anyway, just to give you my side.
Yeah, absolutely.
Someone that's
no.
been on the waterfront since he was 9 years old and is turning 50 in a month. That, you know, a little bit of perspective on,
yep.
on what's going on, and these the anti people that don't want to see anything happen and would erect a gate at the bridge that if you weren't born here, just turn around and go away because you're not your opinions aren't valid. I don't buy it. So anyway.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. But you're very big, like John McElhenney, a huge fan of yours.
He's a great
and
guy.
I am, from what I understand, you're a big proponent of the schools, is that right?
Big time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And who
yeah,
can argue that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a daughter at West Parish. She loves it.
What a school.
What a school.
Right. Jesus, they
what
did a
school.
Job,
oh, man.
You guys went through a lot to get that there, didn't you?
We did. And she spent her kindergarten year at St. Anne's, and I really liked St. Anne's, too. The
yeah.
building is absolutely beautiful. I love old buildings. We live in a house that was built in 1812. And as a bit of an aside, my great-grandfather designed Beauport. So that architecture...
Your great-grandfather?
My great-grandfather, Hafton Hansen, designed the Beauport Sleeper McCann House.
Oh, okay. That,
yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Wow,
and,
beautiful.
And Our Lady of Good Voyage,
Jesus.
And a whole bunch of other places. So,
and what was his name?
Hafton Hansen.
Okay.
Can you
yeah.
write that down for me?
Yeah.
It's a half, like half Dan, half of a Dan. Anyway, he was from Norway.
No, we have to do a poll. We're gonna put Catherine on that,
yeah.
or you, if you want it.
Yeah.
So yeah, Catherine is. I think Catherine went to my aunt and I did a. My aunt is Linda Brayton. She's one of our city's stalwart volunteers. She and I did a presentation on Hafton Hansen last year at the Cape Ann Museum.
How do you spell it?
It was great.
Just so we get it right.
H Hafdan. Hafdan, last name Hansen with an O. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is going to be exciting.
So it's in. So I love old buildings. I just love them. When I was born, my parents were the live-in curators at the Sargent House Museum.
Whoa. Get
so
some history
just,
there.
It's really. It was. You know.
How long did you live there?
Oh, not long. I was. God, I think I was like a year and a half old, and we moved.
Okay. Wow.
So. Yeah. But, you know,
that's so interesting.
Stories about those places have just peppered my whole life. So,
did you have any older siblings that actually lived there when they were
No,
little
I'm
little?
The oldest.
You're the oldest.
Yeah, I'm the oldest. But I adore our heritage and our history, especially when it comes to architecture and art. I minored in art history at Syracuse, so
It's one of the I mean, we have. You think that like some towns are lucky to have like two or three pillars of like what makes their community great. Right. We have like 10 pillars.
Right. We're so lucky. Right. Oh my God, yes. We're so lucky.
So
well, we have almost 400 years, right?
That's right.
Back to 1620.
Yeah, but yeah, there's a lot of towns that have like that have things, but they don't have what we have. You know, what art, music, beaches, boating.
Right.
You know, it's fishing industry. I mean, all the different the restaurant scene. You know, the different how many festivals we have.
You know, and I was talking to Adam Kukuru the other day, and he said everybody here is a celebrity in their own right, and he's so right. I mean, John McElhenney, for example. I mean, he does so much for Burnham's Field. He does so much for downtown. He's so active in the school system.
Yeah. The McElhenney's getting a lot of press on the podcast
last
2 weeks. Last week it was all about Aria.
Right.
We felt bad for John living in her in her shadow. So now it's all about John McElhenney.
Are you going to put that note
the McElhenney cast.
Or just McElhenney or cast. Say John living in Aria's shadow.
Yes.
Oh my God. Oh my goodness.
Yes.
That's
funny.
I'll
write it in right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Does anybody like my typing?
Yeah, well, you know what I do love is your new timestamp.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That was going to be one of the topics. Do you think that was cool?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
I think it was good because, like, when we have certain groups in, they may, like, take a big chunk of the podcast. And maybe some people aren't interested in that particular topic, but they are interested in some of the other topics.
Yeah.
So they can go, boom, right to it.
No, that was great.
It's a good 2 hours. It's a good. It's a good hour and a half, 2 hours. I have to go through every second of it and see where the time is for each topic switches.
Man,
write that down. Put it into
more
the thing.
That's a lot of work.
Put a marker.
There's no automatic thing. It's all manual.
Wow.
I figured out an automatic way.
I wish I thought. But no, you have to listen to it. I'd have to be paying attention to the time. Here while we're talking, and that would take away from the spontaneity of the podcast. This is going to be funny. He's going to love this.
So there'll be a time stamp on his typing.
Now that'll be a topic. Yeah, be within a topic within a topic. Be like a mirror looking into a mirror, looking into a mirror.
Like a show within a show, like the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. That's
so
great.
Funny. Yeah, show within a show.
That's great.
So that's great. So we're happy that you're running. Anything else you want to add thing?
I'm believe it or not, I'm out of signs. I ordered 100 signs. People have been really supportive. They've been really enthusiastic.
I have seen a lot. I've heard a lot. There's a big on the interwebs, Jen Holmgren, big following for Jen Holmgren on the interwebs.
Yeah. I appreciate all the support, and I appreciate your time.
Like I said, as a business owner, we can't play favorites here.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, I have close friends on the council, and you know, and Mayor's a good friend of mine, but we don't put the signs up because our father told us a long time ago, as a business person, it can come back and bite you in the ass, and
you have to be fair.
Yeah, you have to, right? So any of the other councilor people running, feel free to come in.
Do you know how many councilors are running?
For the at-large
for
seat?
At-large.
Seven.
Seven.
Seven for for 4 seats.
Okay, so three get bounced.
Wow.
I know, and Melissa Cox is one of them.
Right, yep. Melissa.
Ken Hecht is going to take her seat.
Right.
And is he running against
he's
anybody?
He's running against Joe Gigoloni.
It's
a contested race. He's Joe Gigoloni's son. John Gigoloni's son?
Oh, before, like a long time ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, also Ward 2. Yeah.
Okay. See, I didn't know. I have no idea. So if he wants to come in, even though, you know, we had Ken in, if the Gigoloni guy wants to come in,
right.
He can come in. We're not playing favorites here. That's good. We're going to get to our next big topic. Big news. Big news.
Now I know.
Jimmy and Pat are here for 5 months, and we said this back in the spring that they knew that they were going to be coming here, and as soon as they put down their roots here, that Pat was going to become an official contributor.
That's so wonderful.
Because
yep.
of her very passion excited. For the city.
Yeah. Yes, welcome.
Very
and I know she's going to bring. I know she's going to bring the thunder. I know she's going to bring
very,
the thunder.
We're very excited. We had we drove in this morning, and seagulls. You know, listening to seagulls and getting some Lone Gull coffee, 8 o'clock in the morning. That's a great way to start the day, don't you think? Great way to start the month. Yeah, so
I'm
very excited.
Yeah.
So they're up from they spent their time raising their family in we call that upstate New York.
Yep, they do.
Upstate New York, kind of in the sticks, right?
Yep, yeah. Definitely in the sticks.
Definitely in the sticks,
yep.
And but you always had a passion for this city, and
my
when you
family's here,
your family.
My dad's family.
Yeah,
and we first came here on our honeymoon. In 1985.
Oh, awesome.
Well, Jim first came here. I'd been coming here, but Jim first said, this was our honeymoon destination.
Oh, that's great.
And lucky for me, fell in love just like I did, and or had been, and he's been wanting us to come back ever since. So we've been making this trip all these years.
Yeah.
That's
bringing our kids, seeing things happen, seeing some changes in the city, even in the 30 years or so that it's been, seeing changes in the city and a little bit in the culture of the city. And so, yeah, we're very excited.
Seen it grow, I think, right?
Seen it, oh, well, I would say change.
Change.
A bit.
Yeah.
Huh. Change a bit.
You know what, I just want to add one thing to when I was talking to Jen. This is a misconception that some politicians have. The fishermen that sit in this office, I don't know, I haven't heard one of them say that when all that was going on with the fighting of the hotel,
right.
Every one of them was for that hotel. Every single one of them was saying,
God.
I can't believe how stupid these people are. That's what they were saying. These fishermen, not a guy that owns a piece of property,
yeah.
The fishermen
right.
were saying, how could they leave that rat-infested hole and not want that?
Right.
How could they not want that? And you know, and they say the same thing about I-4C-2.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a small, what do you call it, a vocal minority.
A very minority vocal
right. that goes to all the meetings and it just can't stand the thought of anything happening.
Mm-hmm.
And but they are not the majority. And when John McElhenney put that poll out, and the poll was overwhelming in favor of the hotel, that was what gave the politicians the chutzpah or whatever to say, no, we do want this, because they needed to see that proof. And you had former mayors, John Bell, you know, that signed on wanting that and everything else. And John Bell, part of the Northeast Seafood Coalition.
Right.
And he said, we need this hotel. So, anyway.
It's just been a win-win-win-win-win for the whole community.
Yeah. But anyway.
Well,
like when you
I want to say that my mother and father-in-law are staying there now with my aunt.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And, I mean, with my sister-in-law, the kid's aunt, and they are loving every minute of it. They really love their rooms, their views.
You know what I want to mention?
Mm-hmm.
Donna did a post. Did you see this?
Oh, that was gorgeous.
Did you see the bike? I know that they had the bikes. I didn't know they had that many bikes.
Yeah.
No,
cool. Do you know those bikes aren't cheap?
No, but
those kind of like riding bikes like that, they're like not cheap. And then but the thing that caught my eye that I haven't seen around town but so cool was that VW bug.
I haven't seen the bug.
Yeah.
What was it called? It was called the Beauport
Beach something.
Beauport Beach Bus.
Yeah.
What is that? Is that a shuttle bus to go to Good Harbor or something like that?
No, that
sounds fun.
Did you see how cool
it
is?
Oh my god, that sounds great.
I thought you were talking about
But we don't want that. We don't want any of that. It's terrible for the city.
I have friends who have gone, you know, to the hotel just for like a night or two to get away. You know, they get childcare and they're right in town and they've loved it. I mean, I haven't stayed there myself, but I'd kind of like to, you know, I kind of like to get there one of these days with my husband. We just celebrated our 10th anniversary just for something fun. And I've seen pictures. It's unbelievable. And the roof deck, oh my goodness.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I know.
We did stay there and it was part of our
Hey, we have to. It's Joey, you know, is Joey approved?
Yes.
It's very, very nice.
That's
a great job.
So we went to it and we stayed there and had a grand time. We went to the roof hotel where the pool is there and there's a bar up there.
Yeah.
And one side, you go over to one side and you're having your drink and you look out and there's the
city view.
You got the city view. The
industrial harbor on one side.
You see everything, all the boats coming in and people over there. And then you go on the other side and there's the city. Boats are coming in.
Yeah.
And it's just, all you did was walk across from one side to the other. Or in our case, I was going back and forth because you want to see what's going on. It is a beautiful thing. So it is
it's a world-class hotel that we can be proud of. And
I first thought Disney came to Gloucester. I mean, you know, it was something that you would...
Some people would say that's a terrible thing.
Well...
Some people would say that, really, it's so...
Well, Disney has the view.
Well-managed.
They got it up here.
Right.
So
they do.
Somebody had it up here and said, we're going to do this for the community, and they did.
Yeah.
The craftsmanship on the inside, it's just solid. You just get this... feel. It's not like one of those motels you go in and you knock on the wall and you're going to put your fist through it or something. It's like solid. That's the feel.
The design, the everything. Yeah. The design, the materials, everything is really great. We're giving them quite a bit of press. We're going to do a shout out to the Atlantis and the Bass Rocks Motor Inn. Because you know what? Those are beautiful. My cousins, when they come into town,
they stay there.
The Atlantis breakfast is fantastic, overlooking the water. So that's not to disparage those places.
Well, we stayed at the last time we were here, we stayed at it's now called Ocean House, I think.
Oh, you're talking
Ocean View.
Right by the Oaks.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they've done a really nice job.
They have spent money there. And the Rocky Neck accommodations, I have to mention.
Oh, yeah. Because
the penthouse there is badass.
Since we've been here so many times since the wonderful day that we got married, that's on there, right?
Yep, it's on
there.
It's on there, Jimmy. It's on there, baby.
So it's out there. I want to make sure.
It's on there.
Anyway, we have stayed in so many different places, and one of the first things whenever we come up, you two always ask, so where are you staying this time?
Well, we made a point to try different ones.
We tried everywhere. So, and we want to say personally, I can honestly say nothing is off the list. Wherever we go, we like to say it's on the list. Like anything else, you have your top 10 places. I really want to go to there first, but if they're sold out, which they normally are, then you have to go down the list, and there's nothing the matter with that. So we enjoy that too. So that's like, yes, totally agree. There's so many great places.
There you
here.
Go.
Yeah.
Kim, you had a great... Okay, Kim, I just want to talk about a couple of things. You had a great dinner at Duckworth's.
Yes, it was beautiful. And I love everybody there. They're so accommodating. You know, we had a big party of 8 there, and 7 o'clock on a Saturday night, and it just couldn't have been more perfect, more beautiful, flow more beautifully, and the food couldn't have been more delicious.
It's spot on every time.
Every time.
The other thing we're going to mention, the reason you have to leave is because you have a family brunch at Feather and Wedge right now. You're going to take advantage of the bloody. Are you going to partake in the Bloody Mary bar?
Well, I told everybody about that yesterday, and they were so excited.
It's Bloody Mary bar. When you have bacon at a Bloody Mary bar.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know enough about. I'm thinking about that, and it sounded intriguing. It sounded right up my alley, to be honest. But I don't know enough about Bloody Marys to know what to add. What kind of, like an ice cream sundae, I could figure out. You know what I'm going to add. And
do you like spicy?
Yes.
Then you add Tabasco and you add pepper.
And horseradish.
And horseradish.
Radish, right.
If you don't like that, then you stay away from those.
What are the exotic things that you might add?
Celery seed is really good in it.
Oh, I bet that would be good.
I don't put celery seed. I put a stalk of celery in it.
Stalk of celery.
Whenever I go to those things, there's just about nothing on the thing that I don't put in. It's more of a salad with a little bit of...
So what exotic kinds of, or things that...
Bacon. I'm pretty basic. He likes to put bacon in his.
I like spicy, and I like bacon, and I love olives.
Bacon in a Bloody Mary. That's a great idea.
That
bacon
is a great idea.
Oh, yeah. Bloody Mary. Oh my God.
They have it. They put it out there for you.
You pretty much have all your food groups covered.
I'm telling you.
Tomatoes, salad, bacon.
I'm looking forward to your... Are you going to do a post?
I'll do a post. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Listen, I know you have to go. I know you're freaking out right now because you're like, and
it's just a very big house call right now.
Go. Yeah. Go. Thank you, Kim.
Okay. Yeah. Hi to everybody. Okay.
You may. Hey, thank you for coming. Thank you for taking the time.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. All right. We'll see you. So our friend Kim, thankful that she showed up for the podcast this morning because I know she has a lot on her plate right now.
It would be hard to walk away from a house full of company.
And you know what? That's how committed. That's how committed she is.
Granddaughter. Yeah.
Yes.
That's how committed she is. Ainsley Smith. Kim wanted me to mention this, so that's why we're putting it out there. Ainsley Smith, the chairperson.
Yep, she's the chair
of the Gloucester Clean City Commission.
Mm-hmm.
Is it her initiative? Or, I don't know why she wanted me to mention her specifically about the sidewalk cigarette butlers. Jen, do you know about
this? Yeah, Ainsley is a really proactive, energetic young chair of this volunteer committee that was appointed by the mayor. And Ainsley is absolutely driven to help tackle the litter problem in this city. We have a lot of people who smoke here, and a lot of people don't know cigarette butts aren't biodegradable. I mean, they're wrapped in paper, but they've got fiberglass inside of them, essentially. And so they just kind of, they sit, they blow around, they get washed away. And Ainsley applied for a grant to get these cigarette butlers.
Do you know how many there are?
Oh, geez, at least 20.
Right. Somebody said, I don't know who said it earlier. I think maybe Kim said it.
I think she did.
It was like some 20 something that are going to be installed around the city, which is great.
I knew the number at one point, but yeah, and she's installed a lot of them downtown with the
help of the committee. So these cigarette butlers are these things where people, instead of flicking them into the sidewalks,
mm-hmm.
which we've talked about countless times, and we know about my history with almost getting arrested for
yes.
for going into a certain establishment and
expressing
bringing their expressing my displeasure with their constant flicking of the ash. So, but now there's one right near that particular establishment. But 22, you can canvas a good amount of downtown.
Oh, big time!
Right?
Yeah, there are a bunch of them on Main Street, and there's one on the corner of Main and Center. There's one actually on the Little River Landing, which is across from my house.
You're a steward, you said, right?
I am a steward. Yeah.
Which means you go and empty it.
I go and empty it.
What
I
do you do with
it
afterwards?
So basically, this is the really cool part. You don't just throw them in the waste stream and then they end up, you know, God knows where, in a trash bag somewhere or incinerated or something. You take them to the DPW and you wear this special respirator mask so that you don't inhale any of the fumes while you're emptying it or the ashes. And you stick it in a special trash bin, and then TerraCycle, the company TerraCycle, comes and takes them and recycles the butts into, I don't even know what. I don't know what they do, fabric or something? I'm not sure. I know. It's mind-boggling.
I'm having a little trouble with that.
Stinky.
Yeah, stinky. I don't know what they do. Maybe it's better not to know, I don't know.
I'm
but
psyched.
It's really exciting.
Yeah. What's scary to me is that they can fill 22 or whatever the number is to a point where they have to be emptied, and constantly. That's a lot.
How often do you steward it?
every couple of weeks. I'm thinking that now that it's off season, people probably won't be enjoying the landing as much. I'll still go.
Yeah.
You know, because people walk their dogs.
The
people walk their dogs on leash there sometimes, and I find that they're. I know. Sometimes they drop the butts, but. What's really exciting is that now that the butler has been installed, people have a place to put them.
Absolutely.
So I find that they're actually in there, which is so exciting, rather than on the ground.
True.
Yeah.
The question I have is, how do they know, you said there's 20 or 22 of them, how do they know where to put them?
Did they count
the butts on the ground or something?
I think that
saying
they probably,
this has got to be a great spot.
Yeah, they looked at where people congregate, I think.
There's probably notorious, because there's so many groups now that... there's so many groups that go, like Donna's group, the Cape,
the cleanup,
the one hour at a time gang,
yeah.
And there's a couple other groups like that. So they know, and I'm sure that they're working in tandem or they consult. There's Donna Vio and there's Patty Amaral. These are big time litter, activists.
Yep.
I'm sure that they've. Tell them where to put them.
So do you get special butt steward shirts or something?
No.
Some patch?
They get to feel good.
We get to feel good. Yes, yeah. We get the satisfaction of reward. I love
no,
it.
I
and
know.
And we get a respirator.
And a respirator.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
you maybe have something.
You can take my CPAP apparatus because I don't use
oh,
that.
You
know,
that looks smaller
you don't use
than
it?
I pictured it.
Huh?
You don't use it?
I couldn't. I'm going to try in the winter when I'm not working 16
oh, yeah.
hours a day
yeah.
Because I can't afford the 2 hours a night of not be of trying to get used
uh-oh.
To it because I only get four to five hours before I have to get back to work
yeah,
at
right.
3 a.m. So,
that's smaller than I pictured it.
Well, they have different ones.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This one is, this
they've
one.
It looks like a manageable size at
yeah.
least.
They've gotten a lot smaller.
It's really messed up. Well, I mean, it's not messed up. People that actually get used to it. So this is how it goes. Like that. It's pretty.
Yeah, for those of you that are not watching the podcast,
yeah.
you put it over his face.
Darth Vader. Darth Vader style.
Yeah.
So there's that. So here's something I wanted to talk about. I just put a post out last week about the police. And I don't know if I talked about it in the last podcast or not, but I just wanted to acknowledge my belief that there are way, way, way more good policemen than there are bad cops. And like this, the kneeling for the you know how that started. Colin Kaepernick was was a standout against. Police brutality.
Police brutality yeah.
And I just hate the idea that there are people that would say that most cops are bad. Like, that cops are bad.
I do think we get that. I do think that might be a general impression. There are also way more good people than there are bad. Just
People in general
yeah.
out there in the world. The
I feel like there's so many of these causes that just like common sense.
Yeah.
Like, I understand awareness and stuff, but like, I just feel like, do we have, I get, there are people that need to be told, but I feel like the idiots are idiots and common sense.
They're not going to change from idiot to somebody with common sense. That generally doesn't, direction generally doesn't happen.
I don't know. I feel very disappointed in I'm more disappointed in people that would categorize all policemen as pigs
mm-hmm.
than I am with the protesters. I think the protesters, I wish that they would do it in a different format. But having said that, I think that probably, and there's all the. See, you can't just generalize because
no,
you generalize, then you're the idiot, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm sure that there are some protesters that acknowledge that they're protesting a few bad cops' actions, but then it gets taken to a big group that say all cops are pigs or bad.
Right.
That's
and I completely disagree.
Here in Gloucester,
what's
I
that?
Mean, our police force here is amazing.
It is amazing.
They're amazing.
It is absolutely amazing. But
yep.
I hear people say, I've spoken to, I had an argument with a community person that you would not suspect that I had a straight up argument. I just had to stop talking because it was obvious I wasn't going to change my mind. Like, I said, I voiced my displeasure, and the person said, "You can't deny cop culture is a real bad thing. This cop culture of this, that they have this attitude that they can do whatever they want to do." And I'm like, "Really? That's the way you feel?" And I was just so disappointed, and that was what spurred me to write that post about I support our police. And police in general, I feel are far and away better for our society than any, the handful of bad cops. And to categorize cops as bad is ridiculous.
Yeah,
so.
I think if we have a minority and if we have groups that are historically oppressed, I think we need to listen to them. Regardless of what's happening at the NFL games, full disclosure, I'm not a football fan. My husband is. We've been together almost 15 years, and he's tried to explain first downs to me, like, every single season, and I still don't know what they are. But here in Gloucester, we have good police officers, and I'm really comforted by that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
You got to go out, you got to say good job once in a while. You got to go
absolutely.
Out, you got to
yep.
say that, and it's harder sometimes to go out and say, I
that's
really
true.
Like what you're doing, congratulations, and thank you, than I have a problem with what is going on.
Right.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. It's going well. My buddy Will, a fellow Weber fanatic,
hey Will.
Just showed up here. I got a grill for him. He came to pick
one?
It up.
With a succulent?
No, it's outside. It's right next to my ribs that are going on. Oh, I wanted to mention, thank you to Dan Allen. I still have to pay him for this, but he hasn't responded to my messages. Dan Allen's Peace, Love, and Honey is one of my finishing sauces. That with some barbecue sauce on the ribs that are going to be pulled off of the smoker.
So that's local honey?
This is like less than a mile away from here this honey came from. Dan Allen on Way Road. Dan Allen, a former Duckworth Bistro employee.
Nice.
Yeah, great guy. Do you know Dan Allen?
No.
Nice guy.
I love Duckworth, so.
Who doesn't love Duckworth? Right?
I don't know.
So yesterday, the rain came down in sheets, like we said. And my 10-year-old soccer match was not canceled, which made for, it's funny how the parents were constantly, were completely bitching about the, that they held the game, and like, I can't believe they're having the game. And the kids were out there, although they were freezing and cold and wet, dancing around and joking and having a ball. So I love the fact that I love the fact that they didn't cancel it, as wet as we all got, and I think it's good for the kids. Little character building.
I like that you said character building, because it got me thinking about other experiences as a kid that build character, that can be tough for parents to watch their kids go through or deal with or
yes.
whatever it is, but. That's exactly what, and you don't always think about it at the time, well, this is character building, you're just suffering along with the kid, but those are character, that's exactly what that is.
I remember Pee Wee football playing in mud and rain and cold, and like, same age as Madeline,
mm-hmm.
and it was, you're raising kids that aren't afraid to go outside in the rain, which is nice, right?
Right.
Yes,
right.
So there's that, we got that going on. I posted this morning, so you guys probably haven't seen it. I saw this YouTube video, which I thought was hilarious. And it was this. Have you ever seen like the? I don't know. There's that show with the whale vigilantes that they go out there and they try to
yes.
stop them. And it.
What's it called? I can't remember.
I don't know, but they're like a bunch of. But they're crazy, right? They're like trying to stop the. And then, well, there's these vegan vigilantes that they're at a slaughterhouse and they. This big truck of livestock, like 200 pigs or something, was going to the slaughterhouse to get butchered so that we can have ribs, right? And they have the video and they think they're so cool and they're doing the selfie video. I'm about to stop this truck, I'm going to save 200 innocent lives, pig lives. And they're filming and the guy, there's a stoplight, the big truck comes with the 200 pigs. And they stand in front of it, and the truck driver honks twice for them to get out of the way, and they don't move, and he just plows them over. It was great. And you just see them afterwards, they didn't get hurt. Thankfully, they didn't get hurt.
Jeez.
But you could just see how defeated they were, and
yeah.
we're gonna show them, these guys. We're gonna, and it was
yeah.
just. For us meat loving,
yeah,
it was just great.
Well, my YouTube wandering yesterday resulted in the video clip that maybe you haven't seen, but Kim posted it for me.
Did you send it to me and Kim?
And, yeah, because
okay,
I know
this
how
is
busy
this is
you
what
are.
Happens.
I
right?
know how busy you are.
No, I appreciate that, and it's great that she posted it. You sent it to me. I should have responded to you, but I didn't.
No.
This is what happened. I went directly to my Google calendar, and I put October 16th post this video.
Oh, that would be good.
Because it was
yes.
the date on the video.
Yep.
It was October 16th, 1955.
Yep.
I said, I put a memo to myself, post this video because it'll be that day in 1955.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then I look at the blog this morning. Kim posted it, which a lot of people do. They send it to me and her or me and someone else. Sometimes things get double posted. It happens. It's
but
not
it's
the end
pretty,
of the world.
It's
just a
blog.
I
loved it.
We've posted it a couple times. I've
yeah,
seen it. I've seen it before.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Which is great because there's a lot of
that
stuff.
I haven't seen.
The blog is going to be 10 years old.
Yes.
Wow.
December 29th, the blog is 10 years old.
I was so
oh my
young
God.
Then.
And but, you know, sometimes I just happen to be going back and looking for something. And there's like a bazillion, great posts that people that are new
yeah.
to the blog right now have don't you know that people have put a lot of energy into
yep.
that
yeah.
that don't, there may be people haven't seen and so it doesn't matter that it was posted before because it's just one of those great
it's
posts.
A new audience. Yeah,
gotta have a greatest hits. Gotta have a greatest
hits. Greatest
hits.
It's so
the
daunting. You know, it's so daunting. And you yeah. know, oh wait, I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna look right now, and I'm gonna tell you how many posts we have done on the blog.
Oh God.
Let me see.
Thousands, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, 57,340 posts.
Whoa.
Since in almost 10 years.
You should have a big celebration when you get to 60,000. Why not?
Another milestone? Okay, so these are the milestones we have coming up. October 29th, I'm 50. Right? That's a month away. I'm going to be 50 years old.
Yeah.
We have the 250th podcast is 6 podcasts from today.
Yep.
Then we have the 10-year anniversary of the pod, of the blog, December 29th.
Wow.
So there's a lot of milestones.
250, wow. If you still go week by week and don't jump an extra one in there, should be November 19th.
Yeah, I was doing it this morning.
Yeah.
November 19th. What day is Thanksgiving? Anybody
I think
know?
It's the following Thursday.
It's following Thursday.
Following Thursday?
I think so.
Yeah. All right,
because that would... Yeah, that would be the...
I want to do something really special for it. It's just, I'm so...
Oh, yeah.
This time of year, I'm so cooked.
I'll just put it out.
I'll just put a big group email and say, anybody that wants to show up for the 50th, we're going to
have
a big...
Maybe.
We'll have an old school GMG mug up.
Yeah.
You know, like, everybody bring a dessert, and we'll do it like that.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll talk to Sherry. Maybe we'll have it at the hotel.
I was
the
just
going to
say, maybe have it something like that.
She'll give us one of those rooms for a morning. She's always good to us.
That would be lovely.
So there's that. All right, where am I? I'm back here. I wanted to say, people have been talking about the little geeky, we're getting a little geeky right here. The iPhone X, and everybody's saying the new iPhone is a $1,000 phone. They announced, I'm an Android guy, so it really doesn't affect me, but they're releasing two new phones, and
right.
one is just, if you want it, with you know, it's around $1,100 all said and done, but the other one is $850.
Is that the iPhone 8?
Oof. iPhone 8 and iPhone X. There's
and
two new phones.
Right, right.
And which both of them are very expensive. Paul Morrison was, your friend of Paul Morrison's.
Yeah.
He always comments, and you comment
yeah.
on a lot of each other's stuff.
Yep.
Paul Morrison put it into perspective. And I think he has a valid argument that as much time, certain people spend an incredible, for better or worse, an incredible amount of time staring at their phones. For better or worse. So you could say it's a bad thing, it's a good thing, whatever. But you're going to spend at least probably a couple years with the phone. And these phones, if you take care of it, you can sell them for a phone like that, you probably sell for $400 after
probably.
2 or 3 years, right?
Yeah.
So the per year cost is a couple $100 if you sell it, if it doesn't break and you sell it. So having said that, to have it like the latest, it isn't as outrageous as I think
as it appears
as
it to be.
As they're selling it, because you don't have to get the X anyway. So that being said, this is what I wanted to say. There are alternatives. you don't have to get the latest and greatest. So I'm an Android guy. I got the October 2016 LG V20 for $270. It was a flagship phone at the time, and it just misses all the boxes that are in this year's V30, the one that's going to replace it. The upgrade, the technological advances are minuscule. So what I would say to iPhone users or Android users is go and get last year's model, because when the new ones are just about to come out, they're not just a little bit discounted.
Yeah.
This is $270. The new version is going to be $860. So for I got this for $270, and I'm going to have it for a couple of years. Yeah. So that's $135 a year.
For all day, every day, basically.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I produce... Whereas when we started the blog, I had to have... You know, I had a $1,800 camera with lens.
10 years ago.
You know, and I wouldn't post... stuff. I actually had cell phones at the time, didn't take good enough photos for what we were doing on the blog at the time.
Right.
We are at a point now where cell phones are so, the cell phone cameras now are so fantastic. I don't pick up my $1,800, my glass. I have a Zeiss lens, 35 millimeter 1.8 Zeiss lens that was $1,000. It's an incredible lens. The difference in photos that I get with this and that are not enough to warrant me lugging that camera around when I have this in my pocket, when I have my cell phone in my in my pocket.
So that was 10 years ago, almost.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
It's one of my, I'm going to get on a little bit of a soapbox here, but I work with, I volunteer and help people with some of their computer problems sometimes, especially senior citizens. I go to the senior center.
That's God's work. That is God. Yes, patience. Yes. You have to have the patience of an angel.
Thank you for doing
that. That's kind of where I'm going with this a little bit. Because often people will come in with a problem and they'll say things to me like, and they've got the oldest phone I have ever seen, the oldest cell phone I've ever seen. They don't have the internet, don't want the internet, don't bring it into my house. whatever, mm-hmm. Don't have an email, don't have any of the things that will allow me to help them get their 6,000 pictures or what of pigs or whatever it is off their phones. And I want to say so bad to them, look, this is not a new thing anymore. Yeah. Get on board. We're way past this being a test phase for email and internet. You have to get on board. You must.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got to.
My fishermen, it's been 2 years now where even the, well, not, there's still a couple of holdouts, but guys that 2 years ago were saying, nah, and would take pride in having the flip, old flip phone that, with no screen or anything like that. And they would, be all cocky about it. Well, 95% of those guys now have iPhones and Android phones. And The cockiest ones would tell
the
you,
ones that are doing this
oh stuff. My God, this is so great! Look, I got the radar right here. I can tell you what the weather's going to be tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And look, I can tell when a storm is coming. All this stuff.
It is so cool. It is so cool what you can do.
Yeah.
But we're way past this. We're way past. It's part of everyday life. It's part of what everybody needs and uses and expects. And don't hide in your. You can't do it anymore. And function.
Yeah.
At the Gloucester schools, the kids are all learning computers, iPads, internet. It's part of the curriculum.
My daughter's 10 and 12 years old, leaps and bounds past my mother. Leaps and bounds past my mother.
Because they've, of course, grown up with it. There was an example of a pair of women, a mother and a daughter. Somebody came into their house and stole their strong box, and it had all their important papers in it that they needed to replace. Mm. Birth certificates and... savings bonds, all of which can be done online, none of which they wanted to do online.
Yeah.
But you still need to go online and get the forms.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's true.
Yeah.
And that's all they needed help with, but I'm like...
And stuff. It's, no, I know. My mother still has an AOL email account, and she has more problems with it. And it's the root of 95% of her computer problems.
Yeah, I'll bet.
I've begged her, like merciless begging to get a Gmail account. Begged her to get it, and she just. I'm like, just mom, like the app, the all the free stuff that you get with the Gmail account, like the calendar and the, you know, all this planning stuff and how it all integrates. I'm like, please. Oh. But, yeah, no. Anyway, so Pat, you are going to, we're talking about some, you're going to be a contributor on the blog.
Yeah.
And you talked about one of your first initiatives is...
One of my recent discoveries are Sebastian miniatures. Have you ever heard of them? I found it in an antique shop near home. They are small ceramic figurines. There's many, many, many of them. This Sebastian person came from this area in Massachusetts. And he designed many, many miniature ceramic figurines. They're the ones I've seen are about 4 or 5 inches high. There's a wide variety of themes available. A set of those are from Gloucester and Rockport and include things like the motif, the Gloucester fisherman. I got just a whaler and Old Salt is another one. So I did a little research after I bought these. They're $5, they're very reasonably priced.
Is that new or used?
It was used. It was in an antique
store. So antique store, okay, yeah.
And I was just fascinated, so I started to do this research, realized he came from this general area, had produced many, many of these. The Gloucester Rockport ones, I'm like, okay, where can I find these? There's a subset of the Gloucester Rockport figurines that were specially commissioned by the Harbor Loop Gift Company, according to the research that I've done.
Wow.
So my mission in the next week or thereabouts is to go down to the Harbor Loop gift shop. Maybe go. I thought I might go talk to
David Cox.
Did I just say David?
You just said David Cox.
Yeah.
David Cox is the guy that would know everything about
precisely. Yeah. So I'm gonna do. He's on my list to go talk to him about those. Mm-hmm. See where how available they are. Because I sure want a whole set of them.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, so we'll find out more about the Sebastian miniatures.
Very cool.
But it was pretty easy to find them online, so apparently they're available.
Did you do an eBay search?
Yes, except the ones that were commissioned. They don't seem to be available.
Ah, interesting.
So far as I can tell.
So now you know you just opened yourself up to compete on eBay with people. You gotta go home right now because this is gonna post at 8 o'clock tonight.
Yeah.
You have until 8 o'clock
tonight
to get online
and do my research
and get your the commissioned one.
Yeah.
So is that okay? Pat, I'm so happy that you and Jimmy are here. You know, you're some of my favorite Good Morning Gloucester people.
Thank you. We are very happy to be here. What is really cool for us is that we have, in all the years that we've been coming here, we have family here, so that's one reason to visit. But now we're developing a group of friends.
Oh, yeah.
Also.
Yeah.
Outside of the family circle. So it's pretty cool. It makes us feel...
You are special. You don't have
people
to say it. I'll say it.
No, that's how
you are
special.
Special.
I was going to say that we belong here.
People
that's what I was going
to
say.
Great notices to us and telling us, you got to come out and see this. Come on, let's go. You got to come out and see this. This weekend we're doing this. Or we didn't see you at this thing. Why weren't you there and stuff? So that's kind of really adding to, we just have to be here more.
We have to also, we almost got through this whole podcast without mentioning Paula.
Paula Ryan O'Brien,
another super fan.
Hopes to get here in a few weeks.
She's coming. You know she's coming. She can't not come.
She can't not come. And
she'll tell you before she'll tell us.
Yes, you may learn from her.
Well, it's this kind of game that you guys have between each other.
Yes,
you show up here on the podcast, unbeknownst to her, and then she flips out.
Right. And hello. I am one of six kids. There's five girls and one boy in my family. A different sister is coming next weekend.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah. you're welcome to bring them in for the podcast.
I think they'll be interested.
See, as far as I'm concerned, there's only two of you. So until I meet this other one, that's all that really exists.
Paula and I.
It's Paula and you. So yeah, until we
really,
start, you know, because
they don't
write in on the blog, so they're dead to me.
They probably
don't exist in my world.
Yeah. But until maybe when they see the behind the scenes tour, they'll be.
Well, you know, they'll have to. They don't just get a free pass.
No.
They have to participate.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Well, we have a couple of topics we're going to leave till next week because, unfortunately, Kim had to leave, but I was thankful for her to come.
Yeah.
Jen, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Any other politician? Do you call yourself a politician? What do you call yourself?
Yeah.
A candidate.
Candidate.
Yeah.
That's the right word.
You know?
That's the right word. Thank you for that. Any other candidates for Gloucester office that want to come in, feel free. You know, we're not playing favorites here.
Yeah,
it's
very nice.
But I loved your
yeah,
I loved having that
good
conversation.
Luck.
Thank you
good
so much.
Good luck, and thank you for putting your time in.
I always
matching up the names to the faces. She came in and said she was Jen, and I said, are you Jen Holcomb by any chance?
Yeah.
She said yes. So I'm like, I'm starting to match the names to the faces. So that's
I love it when people are doing it for the right reasons. It's not about ego, but it's about getting stuff done.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always nice. There you go. Shout out to everybody. Will, thanks for coming by. My buddy Will here, a.k.a. Northeaster in the Weber Kettle Club fan base.
Okay.
Yeah.
Actually, Joey, can I do a shout out?
Yeah.
My wife, Emily, is opening a gift shop in Concord, Mass. It's going to be called Callie, C-A-L-L-I-E, and Fen, F-E-N. So it's Callie and Fen. And she's going to be open in October of 2017.
That's
and
this year.
They're going to have unique gifts. So she's going to be doing a lot of handmade and unique stuff. So if there's any artisans in Gloucester that have like a handmade product, I think she's looking to expand
her offerings.
Yes. And she's going to be in Concord, Mass on Main Street. I think it's 93, but the phone number is 978-369-3908. So if there's any,
is there a website?
I think it's going to be Callie, C-A-L-L-I-E and Fen.com. I don't know if it's up yet because she's still
what's
doing
the
build out of the
Fen
store.
F-E-N?
F-E-N, like short for Fenway.
Callie, Callie and Fen spelled out.
Yes.
.com.
Right. Could be. I believe so.
All right, well, tell her that that's what the link
page
is going to be.
I think the Facebook page is Callie and Fen.
Is that operational right now?
I believe it's up, yeah, the Facebook page is
okay,
up.
Okay, so I'll link to that then.
So if there's any artisans, like I know that she had a pottery person in New Hampshire that she was looking to use, but I think she had put in an order, but there might have been a conflict because of there might have been another seller in the in the area, so that would conflict her out from selling. So I don't know if there's anyone that does any pottery. I know that might be a need.
Well, listen, Will, if there's, all she has to do is send me a press release with what she's looking for,
and
I can just put it up for her. How's that sound?
Yeah.
That sounds fantastic. Thank you, Joe.
All right, you got it.
That's exciting.
That sounds wonderful. I'll tell my Concord cousins about it.
Oh,
Gloucester's filthy with artisans. So we got that going for us. Gloucester Cast 244, 6 from 250 is in the books. Thanks, guys.